Welcome, everyone, to Freedom Law School's weekly conference call on this April 21st, 2016. This is Payman Mutahide, the founder and president of Freedom Law School. And I've been holding these conference calls for many years, helping, educating the average American like you how to live free of oppressive taxation and control. Folks, I started Freedom Law School over 20 years ago on January 1st, 1996. Why? Because I came to America from Iran, from a country where we had no freedom. And growing up as a Jewish kid, folks, I learned about the East-West conflict of the Soviets and America, the Arab-Israeli conflict, the Iranian politics, the Secret Service that Iran has, which was installed by the CIA, that tortured people, executions, summary executions, summary trials, you know, no trials. You know, and we had no freedoms, folks. I came to America. I was glad to have been to the land of the free and home of the brave. The country, I was told, where as opposed to Iran and the Soviet Union and much of the world, its constitution had not been violated by the politicians. Well, to my surprise, as I kept going, and I noticed and saw that America is not as free as it was intended to be or was supposed to be. I learned that in America, you'd be shocked to hear this, that the money in our country, every dollar in America, is the money that the banks, especially the big banks like Chase, Bank of America, you know, Citi, Wells Fargo, these guys make out of thin air and lend out to the people to buy cars and homes, corporations to invest and expand, and even the governments and the federal government borrow the money. That's right. Borrow money made out of thin air. And the income tax system is also connected to this fraudulent money system. They both started in 1913. In America, okay, they started with the 16th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution in 1913, and so was the Federal Reserve Act passed. So I tell you, folks, I believe that there is no law that requires the average American to file and pay the income tax. That's my researched opinion, and I've written about it to my congressmen and senators. I wrote to my Senator Barbara Boxer. I wrote to my Senator Dianne Feinstein, and at that time, my Congressman Christopher Cox, who was a lawyer, who was actually, a Harvard-educated lawyer, and he was with the Reagan cabinet as well. So, folks, none of these guys could refute what my student, a former gun-carrying IRS special agent with their criminal investigation division had concluded, agreeing with me that there is no law requiring the average American to file and pay the federal income tax. What a fraud. What a lie. So, folks, I don't expect you to believe me. I don't think you should believe the government or me or anybody else on the internet. I invite you to look up and read the laws for yourself. That is why if you go on YouTube and type in how to use the law library, you see that class that I did in 2002 is there for you for free to see how to look up and verify anybody's legal claims for yourself. folks, and the courses that Freedom Law School has put together are also meant to empower you, for you to understand the U.S. Constitution and the laws for yourself. You don't have to take it from me. You can do it by and for yourself. So if you contact Freedom Law School at 813-444-4800, I will send you a free Freedom Information Package. You can also go to our website at livefreenow.org and request to get the free education package that way. It'll be sent to you at no charge by mail. And in addition, folks, I will send you a free education once a month about the law and your rights and the Constitution and so much more that you will not find anywhere else on the internet. You're going to get the education of your lifetime that you never had anyplace else. Now, our courses will have a lot more. Absolutely, they do. But at least you're going to get a start with that. So go to our website at livefreenow.org, livefreenow.org, and get your education started there. So, folks, at Freedom Law School, I have many sources available for you, education available. So you're welcome to take advantage of that. FreedomLawSchool.org is another website which has more information on there. Now, besides that, I hold these conference calls every Tuesday night, every Wednesday, Thursday night, I'm sorry. And the reason is because I want you to get to know Freedom Law School, and I want to help you live free now. Oftentimes, I can answer your freedom questions tonight free, completely, whether it's the IRS, state income tax agency, traffic tickets, police abuse of power. I do my best to answer your questions fully on these conference calls. However, sometimes you may need or want a private one-on-one consultation with me. At other times, you may want or need to be referred to somebody else. I will do that. Another source, or one of Freedom Law School's courses or Freedom Packages. So no matter what, folks, I'm going to do my best to direct you to the direction you want and need to go to find the freedom answers and solutions that you are looking for. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to take your questions one person at a time. We're going to go to the caller we have from area code 978. Call from area code 978. If you have a question, please give me your first name and then ask your question, please.
I'm sorry, what's your first name again?
Yeah, if you have a question, give me your first name and then your question.
Yeah, I was just wondering, what was your first name again?
This is Peyman Motahede. I'm the founder and president of Freedom Law School. You can call me Peyman if you like. Do you have a question, my friend? Yes.
Hey, how you doing, Peyman?
I'm doing good. Thank you.
I'm going to try to make this short because there's so many different areas that I've been experiencing throughout the years.
Why don't you give me your name first? I can call you by your name. What is your name?
Sure, you can call me Ray.
Ray. By the way, on this conference call, you guys can use a pseudonym, a different name, phony name. I don't care. It doesn't matter. Okay? It's quite okay. People are worried about their privacy, and I understand that. It doesn't matter. I just want to be able to call you, have a wonderful, workable conversation, and give you the answers to the freedom issues and questions you have, my friend. So go ahead, Ray. What's on your mind, my friend?
Yeah, I was going to use John, but I said, what the heck? I don't have nothing to hide.
Ray's fine. No problem. That sounds good.
Yeah. Well, let me get to the point here. Back in 2007, 2008, I understand. I've been doing a little research and I've been listening to some of your videos online, and you talk about taxes and all that. I don't want to take you off that subject, but maybe you know a little bit about what I'm about to tell you. Because I didn't know what I know now, I know there's a way of, I'm not trying to claim my property back, but I understand my status now. And I just want to know if it's possible, which I'm sure it is, to go back, whoever's responsible for what they put me through, when I didn't know any better as far as I was making my mortgage payments and everything. Everything was fine. I had my job. But all of a sudden, you know, that subprime loan, all that hit back then.
Mm-hmm.
And I got caught up in it. And what's funny is that I even went to the county. And I even took
hold on,
a
Ray,
loan.
Hold on, Ray. Get to the question you have, my friend. You gave too much story. What's your issue, my friend? Because there are other people with questions waiting, my friend. What is the issue you got that I can help you with?
Well, they foreclosed on me when I already had the funds to reinstate the mortgage. And
what
there
year?
Was some fraud committed.
What year? When
this
was
in 2007.
Okay.
2007,
well, that's very old, my friend. That's 9 years ago. You know,
right.
Unfortunately, there's a thing called the statute of limitations in law. And what that means is that no matter how serious the case might be, there's a time frame by which you must bring your claim to the court. Now, some things like murder have no statute of limitations. You know, if they find you murdered somebody 55 years ago, they can bring charges against you. Somebody hit your car and ran away, for example, you know, you cannot sue them in many states after 1 or maybe 2 years. So this kind of thing that you got is the same way. Okay, there is a time frame that you can challenge the fact that they wrongfully and illegally took you home. 9 years. I don't know your state with your state law, but I suspect that's what it is. I just want to tell you about that up front. Even though I deal with government oppression, not private entities, but that's the situation. Do you have anything with the government agency that's taking away your rights or attacking your rate? Because I'm not an attorney. Don't give legal advice with all the civil litigation with private parties. That is not what I do. What I do is political, legal combined. The government oppression and tyranny is a political issue and a legal issue both. So that's why in those areas, I do help you, my friend. So do you have anything related to government action that you want to ask me about?
So one more, which it'll probably fall under that. Property taxes. Can you take that off the tax roll?
No. Unless in some states, if a church or some other specifically exempt entity owns it, doesn't have any property tax. But property tax is a foundational tax that built America. Think about the Wild Wild West movies you've seen, all of you, over the years on television and movies. A bunch of people go someplace in the 1870s and form a town in the Midwest. And the bunch of farmers there, you know, ranchers, families trying to raise some chicken and land, you know, corn, whatever they got. And they got to pay for a sheriff and maybe a couple deputies perhaps, a part-time judge probably, part-time prosecuting attorney because they don't have that much crime. It's a small little town. The judge is not even there full-time. There's no social services or anything. There's no electricity, telephone. You have your own water well. So how's he going to pay for the sheriff and his deputies, which is, we all recognize is needed, and a part-time judge and a prosecuting a lawyer when needed, when somebody does do something wrong, somebody does steal, somebody does murder or rape, right? Well, that's my property tax, you know, and how are we going to do that? Well, the big rancher which has a lot of good prime land, thousands of acres, he pays more than a small family that has maybe 20 or 100 acres of not so good prime land. He pays less because, you know, the guy that's got a lot more to protect, you know, should pay a lot more to sheriff, and he's going to need that a lot more. So that is, that's how America was and should be. We got to get back to that. The problem today is, of course, the government has become so big, even at local level, that they spend too much money on all kinds of things they should not be doing, like all this socialistic programs, that property taxes have become oppressive and too high. People didn't mind in the 19th century to pay the property tax because that helps the sheriff and his deputies make a living to protect them from the bad guys that you all saw on TV, right?
Right.
So that was just fine. But so that's the property tax is just fine. And let me tell you something else. I heard what you say. You mentioned about you understand your status now. And I suspect what you're talking about is a state versus U.S. citizenship status. Is that correct?
Right.
Okay. Well, I used to be one of the prime teachers and experts of that in Southern California back in 1993-1994. I used to teach it that you are either a sovereign state citizen or the government tricked you into becoming a 14th Amendment of U.S. Constitution created U.S. citizen slave. Right?
Right.
That's the argument you're talking about, right?
Right. I'm trying not to get into the whole thing of it, yeah.
That's okay. Well, I even paid for $800 to get a package of that from somebody to, you know, to show them how to become a sovereign state citizen again, how to cancel all these adhesion contracts that unknowingly I declared myself a U.S. citizen, like, you know, things like that. Marriage, you know, license, driver's license, and, you know, things like that. So guess what? When I went to a law library 2 years later and I looked these court cases I used to quote to people in my paperwork, I found out, oh, my gosh, these court cases are out of context. They don't say those things that I was teaching people. I was wrong. I was unknowingly, naively misleading people. So when I found out I was wrong, you know, as my apology to all the people that misled, the only way I could reach all of them that I had misled is to write an article about it. And I did write an article called State versus U.S. Citizenship Theory Reconsidered. Okay? State versus U.S. Citizenship Theory Reconsidered. Why? Because I reconsidered my opinion and research on that issue. And I made that available on Freedom Lawsuit's blog. In fact, if you go on any search engine, Google, whatever you use, type in State v. U.S. Citizenship Reconsidered, it will come up. My article will come up. And the court cases that I was reading, referring to, it's all there.
Right.
You can go look up and read them for yourself and verify it. So your status, it makes no difference. You've always been, you and me, state and U.S. citizens at the same time. The 14th Amendment of the Constitution did not create a new class of citizens, as erroneously been told in the Freedom Movement. You hear a lot about it on internet, patriot circles. Again, I tell everybody, that's why I tell you, don't believe the government and don't believe me. And don't believe anybody on the internet talks about all this stuff on internet, like citizenship, my friend, okay?
And just to
Does
be
that
clear,
help you?
I am that type of person where I'm not a follower. I've never been a follower. I've always taken a little information out of everything that I've learned, and I make up my own mind. But at the same time, it has to make sense. And like what you just said, you know, that's exactly the way that I think. I try not to follow anybody. I try to make sense of what's really in place. You know.
Very good.
I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Do you have any other question you want to ask me about, Ray?
No. Let me give everybody else a chance.
Okay. Very good. Thank you for your questions. Let's now go to our caller from area code 925. Caller from area code 925. If you have a question, please give me your first name only, for your privacy, only your first name, and then go ahead and ask your question. Okay. The caller from area code 925 does not have a question. We will now go to the caller from area code 218. If you have a question, the caller from area code 218, please give us your first name only and then your question.
Hi, my name is Mary.
Hello, Mary.
Hi. I'm calling because I got a notice from the state. I'm in Minnesota that I did not file my 2012 income tax. And actually, I didn't file for the IRS or the state of Minnesota. And I discovered that I didn't have to. So I think I was writing letters to the IRS challenging them as far as showing me jurisdiction. And I think they just kicked it over to the state of Minnesota and then they picked it up. And so everything that I've corresponded with them about, and they did levy my bank account recently, last month.
The IRS or the state? Which one? IRS or the state?
It was the state of Minnesota.
How much did they claim you owe, for what years, and how much did they take, and how recently was it?
Well, they did a they started last March and told me that if I did not file, they would do a commission filed return, which they did. So they just threw an ambiguous number out there and expected me to just pay them. And that was like $1,800. What they got out of my bank account last month was like $281 or something.
How much they claim you owe them, though? How much they claim you owe
them?
How much
they
did they claim
I owe
you
them
owe for what years?
For 2012, like $1,800.
Okay.
And now they're sending me what I can exempt, what they wouldn't be allowed to take. And I'm just like, you can't take anything. I mean, and I don't work, and I've told them that. So none of my wages would be, that they'd have access to any of that. And I don't have any supplemental income. But they want, you know, if there's annuities or life insurance or this, that, or the other thing. And I already filled it out and told them, you know, I didn't work, and just kind of crossed everything off, threw it in the mail. They wanted it by April 4th, and they just sent me another one that I have to answer by May 3rd. I don't know what to do. I mean, with all the letters that I've sent to them also saying, you know, please verify this. Show me that this commission files return. As far as I know, I thought that was fraud for them to fill that out. I don't know where to go from here.
Well, you said they filed a return for you for 2012, claiming you owe them $1,800 last March.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Well, yes.
Okay. Well, the thing to do is when they do send you these proposals, you need to ask for a hearing and challenge them.
Okay.
That's what needs to happen, okay? You know, they send you a letter, and I forgot what they call it in Minnesota. They call them different names, different states. Like, they call some of them notice of deficiency, notice of proposed assessment, different names they call these things,
mm-hmm.
Okay? But when they do, they give you 30, 60, or 90 days to ask for a hearing, ask for, appeal or challenge them somehow, you should do that. Okay? You got to challenge them. So that's the time to do that, because if you don't do that, in America, the way the system works, which I don't agree with, is that then you have to pay the tax in full and then make a lawsuit to get your money back. Mm-hmm. No matter how arbitrary, illegal, unconstitutional the tax may be, you pay it and then sue for a refund. Unless at the time when they send you this tax proposal and they gave you a chance to ask for hearing, you ask for hearing at the time. So that's the problem. You didn't do that at the time. You didn't know that, Mary. That's what they went and they determined the tax at that time, and they went ahead and took the money from your bank account. I recommend you don't have a bank account at this time.
Don't
be buying the bank
anymore. My bank closed it, actually. I said, well, thank you. You actually did me a favor. But they don't, ask to see the levy or anything either. I mean, they just go ahead and bow to the powers that be, and it's like. So I went in and yelled at them a little bit, but it didn't do me any good. It made me feel better. But I also have a question about obtaining your master file from the IRS. I know you can do that. Do you know anything about that?
Yes, I know a lot about obtaining an individual master file. You can get your individual master file from the IRS, but for practical purposes, it's useless. It's one, it's been promoted in the freedom movement and the patriot movement that has all this wonderful stuff in there that shows you actually not a taxpayer, you don't owe the IRS anything, and all this kind of stuff. But, I know the IRS, not only their whole system is legally fraud, but also they defraud their own computers to push the computers forward to tax you when they're not supposed to. So because originally, when the computers were set up way back then, they were done honest. So they had to trick their own honest computers. And they still do some of these codes on their own system shows that. So bottom line is that they're going to, come after you regardless of what the individual master file shows or says. It's not useful to rely on an IMF to win or lose against the IRS.
Okay.
What people need to know, Mary, in my opinion, you say, well, what works then? What do you do? Well, first of all, I teach people that the income tax is a fraud by the law the way it's written. Then I teach people that unfortunate law is not what the U.S. Constitution says. The law is not what the legislature says. You're saying, what? Payman, are you smoking pot or something? What do you mean the law is not the Constitution? What do you mean the law is not what the legislature says? That's how the system's supposed to be. What do you mean?
Mm-hmm.
But what I mean to say is that, yes, that's how the law is supposed to be in theory, but in practice, the law is whatever the government paid, government biased judge rules the law to be to fit the system. A government lawyer, on behalf of the executive branch, convinces these judges, hey, government judge, you got to read the law the way I tell you, otherwise it would not work. Otherwise, it wouldn't make sense. It's ridiculous. It would not work for the system, so read the law my way. And the judges changed the law in the Constitution to what they wanted to be to fit their system.
Mm-hmm.
So once you understand that, then you learn how you can beat these guys with their own procedures. Even if you don't file income tax, you can beat these crooks and criminals. That's what I do. That's what I'm going to talk about tonight also. But that is the way you beat them, not by some silver bullet theories that are out there like citizenship or individual master file.
Okay. So I should challenge them and ask for a hearing, correct?
Yes. We'll send a tax proposal to you at that time. Yes.
Okay. All right. I will do that. Thank you very much.
You're most welcome. My pleasure. Thank you for being on the call and asking the wonderful question you have. Okay, folks. Well, now I'm going to, since no one has any more questions for tonight, I'm going to go on to the subject of the class. If you guys, let me take a 10-second break. I'll be right back with that information. Okay, folks. I sent an email to everybody and on Facebook that a critic of the IRS, politically challenging the IRS, exposing their IRS fraud and criminality in the face, beat the IRS $700,000 case, and that's Freedom Law School. Okay, the IRS came after me in Freedom Law School. Okay, and in December 2009. IRS filed these liens that were pages and pages long, okay, for many years. Now, if you want to see, follow up with me, you can do that, folks. You go to livefreenow.org. That is Freedom Law School's website. Okay. Then you click on Our Victories. Once you go click on Our Victories, you'll see there is on the left, there's IRS Victories, Freedom Law School IRS Victories. You click on that, and that will take you to the page that this victory is there. This victory is going to be at the top of this page soon, so if you listen to a recording on this call, this victory probably will be at the top of the page. But for right now, you have to scroll down to the third big heading, okay? The third big heading is the one that says Freedom Law School beats IRS's illegal tax claim. In all bold and italics, you see that, okay? And you can follow along what happened here. And how did I beat the IRS of about a dozen years of taxes they came after me at Freedom Law School? About a dozen years, folks. I'm not exaggerating. And about $700,000, pages of liens. Okay. So what I did, first of all, Freedom Law School asked a collection due process hearing, requested a collection due process hearing. Of course, by law, the IRS must give you the chance to ask for a collection due process hearing after they file the tax lien. So that's what Freedom Law School did. And then Freedom Law School asked the IRS to prove that Freedom Law School actually owes this arbitrary about $700,000 taxes that the IRS claims. Well, you know what, folks? I met with the IRS officer that came up with these taxes and his manager, and they ignored me. They said, nope, we don't have to prove nothing. It's up to you, Freedom Law School. Paymon, you must show our numbers are wrong. And I said, no. The burden of proof is not on Freedom Law School or Paymon. It's on the IRS. IRS is the one that had come up with these bogus numbers. I do not have to say anything. You're the one that must support your baseless, arbitrary claim. Well, when the case went to a collection due process hearing, the IRS appeals officer who was supposed to give the hearing would refuse to give Freedom Law School a chance to challenge the tax and said, no, you owe the tax. The only thing I'm here to discuss with you is payment arrangements. Can you imagine how ridiculous that is? This lady was telling me, my zone, you just got to come up with this $700,000. How do you want to pay it? I mean, what kind of payment arrangements do you want to make? And I'm telling the lady, this is, you know, you're incorrect. I wrote to her nicely that you are incorrect by law. Since I did not receive a notice of deficiency or otherwise had an opportunity to challenge this tax before, I should be given the opportunity now. That's what the law says, the collection due process hearing law, IRS Code Section 6330. It's clearly there. You think the IRS appeals officer followed the law that I reminded her of? No. She's much too arrogant. So she just ignored me and ruled against Freedom Law School and issued a notice of determination approving of this, of these taxes. Then Freedom Law Slip petition the United States Tax Court. And then the IRS lawyer who saw what happened in his case, looked at the paperwork, on his own realized that, wait a minute, the IRS appeals officer was wrong. And Freedom Law School should have been given the opportunity to challenge this taxes that IRS had proposed and filed a lien against Freedom Law School and pay Mama Tahede. So the case went down to the IRS appeals office to give Freedom Law School a new hearing, and it was done with a new hearing officer. And his new hearing officer did his job correctly. I wrote to him. I talked to him. And if you go on there, you'll see in the third paragraph of what I have here, you click on it, you'll see the copy of the notice of determination, the supplemental notice of determination that this IRS appeals officer named Robeson issued against the IRS. And this was employment taxes from March of 1997, from beginning of 1997 to the end of 2008. 12 years, okay? And what was this about? Okay, you see what happened here is that the IRS agent, appeal officer who come up with these taxes came by my house where Freedom Law School is being run out of, you know, where I live. And just because six cars were parked outside of my house, assumed, oh, and because these six cars were not known to be owned by any of my known relatives, my relatives that this IRS agent knew. I don't know how this IRS agent could know all my relatives to find out what cars they own so that then he could determine that these cars did not belong to any of my known relatives. But because these cars did not belong to any of my known relatives that this IRS appeals officer knew, he assumed they must have belonged to employees of Freedom Law School, and not just for the day or the year that he came by, okay, but for the entire 12 years before, going back to 1997. Talk about arbitrary, folks. Talk about making stuff up. Talk about throwing something against the wall, hoping it sticks. You know, he just assumed. What? So if you have six cars parked outside your house, folks, those must be your employees. And he said, they work for you, and I assume you paid the minimum wage, and I assume that you did not withhold from their pay Social Security taxes. Withholding, because there's no record of you doing that. You should have done that. And because you didn't do it, bingo, I'm going to assess the taxes against you. And with employment taxes, the IRS can file a lien against you right away before they give you any hearing of any kind. And that's what they had done. And after they filed a lien, then I got my hearing to challenge them. And IRS's own appeal officer erased this tax. In fact, his wording said, as you see, it has been determined that the tax assessments should be abated and the notice of federal tax lien withdrawn. Such a nice way of saying it, folks, that the IRS tax claims were bogus, were illegal, were fraud. They don't use the words. That they were arbitrary. He just says, oh, this should be abated. What a, you know, neutral, you know, word. You know, no feelings, no really what's going on here. Okay? And so you'll see, that was in November 2011. Okay? 2 years later. And you see in December 2011, you can see the IRS withdrew the liens officially from the county recorder's records and send me a cover letter along with a copy of the withdrawal of the filed notice of federal tax lien for all these quarters that they had filed. The pages long, folks, that they had filed, all those pages had to be withdrawn, and they did remove it by the IRS. Okay? So, and then in November 2012, the tax court solidified this by ruling that the IRS, you know, by giving a court order saying that what the IRS appeals officer said is now official. It all became official, not just by the IRS appeals officer ruling in my favor, but also and Freedom Law School's favor, but also the tax court approved of that. So, folks, if I can do this, so can you. Why? Because IRS does all kind of bogus actions, illegal actions, arbitrary actions, make up numbers out of thin air. And then when you catch them, oh, they don't want to admit that they're wrong. They say everything is fine. And you have to go higher up the food chain of management to correct these criminals' actions to win. And folks, that's why I teach what I teach you at Freedom Law School, so you can win. Okay? In fact, the last document you see on this case is the official order and decision of the court. Okay? And the order and decision of a court is so mild sounding. You know, let me tell you what it says. It says ordered and decided that respondent's notice of determination. That's the IRS's. Respondent is the IRS. The IRS's notice of determination concerning collection actions under Section 6320 and or 6330 dated April 27, 2010 is not sustained. See, the very first time the IRS appeals officer ruled against me, the court said that one is not approved. It's not sustained. It's disapproved. It's canceled. And the court continues. Rather, respondents, that's IRS's, supplemental notice of determination concerning collection actions under Section 6320 and or 6330 dated November 28, 2011 is sustained, and the tax assessments for all 49 specified calendar quarters for employment taxes, so-called 941 taxes at issue herein, and for all the 12 specified calendar years for unemployment taxes, so-called 940 taxes at issue herein, are to be abated. It means removed, canceled, and the notice of federal tax lien in respect of such taxes is to be withdrawn, signed by Judge Robert N. Armand Jr., Special Trial Judge. Okay, folks, this is not something I made up. This is an official document. The tax court judge signed it, November 13, 2012. You know, you think I made it up? You can go to ustaxcourt.gov, the United States Tax Court's website. Click on the top. There's a tab there in the near the top center called, you know, a docket search. You can search case by docket. And you go to a page for this docket case number at 12440-10 and go and all the entries of the court filings of that case. And you see the November 13, 2012 is exactly this document. It's there. You can verify it. It's not being made up by me. So, folks, if I can do it, the target of the IRS, I've been under attack for the IRS since early 1990s, folks. Since 1993, folks, IRS had me under all kind of investigation, criminal investigation, civil investigation, abusive tax shelter avoidance promoter, you know, tax evasion promoter investigation, all kinds. I've known that they had meetings of a bunch of the people to conspire against Freedom Law School and me, where they had an IRS auditor and her manager, IRS collection officer and his manager, an IRS abusive tax shelter avoidance specialist and her manager, and an IRS lawyer and his manager. And the lawyer's name is Kevin Coy, and the supervisor name is Sharon. Don't remember the last name of the Sharon's last name at this moment, but they get together and they email about the meeting and talk about Freedom Law School and me. They refer to me as Paymon, just by my first name. I mean, you know, just like you do, you know, they don't say Mr. Paymon Motahedi or Motahedi. They just know me so well because I'm a target of these guys. Yet I beat them. Freedom Law School beat them. You can do it too, folks. With knowledge, with preparation, with support, you can win too. And that's what Freedom Law School is all about. It's educating you about the U.S. Constitution, the law, your rights, and the proper steps and procedures you need to assert to live free of oppressive taxation and control and win. So go to our website at livefreedom.org. If you haven't signed up for our emails and our free education that we send you, sign up for that. Our courses are there. Our freedom packages are there. If you're under attack and need some help, we can help you. If you want to join our Royal Freedom Package, where we take care of everything's taken care of for you at Freedom Law School, all the responses are done for you by Freedom Law School, to get these things off of you, that can be done also. Freedom Law School is a source of education and solutions for you, ready to assist you to live free now. So with that, folks, I want to thank you for being with me on this conference call tonight. I'm going to bid you good night and invite you to come back next week. Tell your friends, folks. Tell your coworkers. Don't keep this to yourself. Tell people that you know. Email them about us. Put them on our email. Talk to your friends about us. We'll send you extra educational packages to them to pass out to them and wake up America to get this country back. It belongs to us, we the people, not the big banks and corporations and their crooked politicians. Okay? It belongs to you and me, the American people. Let's get together and let's have you live free and together have America become a free country once again. Good night, everybody.